You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
For city councilling this week, I spoke with Manukau City Councillor Lotu Fully. Lotu discussed the looming job losses at the council, as well as Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson's comments around trimming the fat and losing some nice-to-haves. I began by asking Lotu how the budget hole has deepened.
Yeah, well, we were told by staff that the reason why it has increased is because of that the unknowns around inflation and interest and just the rise in costs generally that have pushed that up, rise in insurance costs and everything else. And so that's why it's increased. They did flag early on that that 295 figure was probably going to go up unless inflation was to drop really dramatically and interest rates and everything else, and they didn't. And so on the 10th of May, they gave us that updated version of what the actual budget shortfall is at $325 million.
What does this mean for the budget? Does this mean that more things are on the cutting block?
Potentially it does, because, like, you know, we're still at that stage where we haven't quite made a decision yet as 21 members of the governing body. And we are looking at that. It just means that if we do have to raise rates, then we've got to consider raising them a little bit more. If we do have to increase debt, we may have to increase it a little bit more. And then if, you know, if we don't do those things, then it might mean that we have to cut more. But what I can say, although, you know, like I say, the decision hasn't been made, it won't be made till the 8th of June, one of the things that we are hearing that's in common around the table from all 21 governing body members, including the mayor, is that there isn't the same appetite for those cuts. There's not a lot of support for the cuts that the mayor originally proposed, and I'm expecting that that will look very different when we finally do land on the budget.
Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson said this week that Auckland must trim the fat, and this could mean losing some nice-to-haves. What do you think this means around nice-to-haves?
Yeah, I mean, it will mean, you know, for some of our communities, it will mean losing some of the funding that they've enjoyed for our community facilities. And for the council group, it does mean a loss in services. So maybe our berms won't be mowed as often as we would like. Our library hours may have to go down, and our hours at our pools, for example, might have to go down. And some of the services that are provided at the libraries, at the pools and at our facilities might be lost. And the reality is that when you cut services, it means that people lose their jobs. You know, so it'll have that flow and effect to our families, our workers who live in our communities and who then contribute to our economy. So there are huge ripple effects when we're talking about cutting costs, and trimming the fat actually does have a huge ripple effect on our economy generally here in Auckland. So yeah, but it is unfortunate that that's the reality of what that means, to trim the fat.
And how is this decided, this sort of rhetoric around nice-to-haves? I mean, for one person, nice-to-haves might be a local library. For someone else, they might not use the library. How do we decide in a city like Auckland that's so diverse and sort of so large what a nice-to-have is?
Yeah, and a lot of that we've based on the feedback that we've been getting from our communities. And I think that is why we saw such a big turnout. The you know, biggest on record, was because people have come out and said, actually, those things that you're talking about, they are core to council. Things like library hours, things like our arts, our events, you know, our swimming pools, those facilities and those activities and initiatives that are offered, like Field of Dreams out in South Auckland, which provides free swimming lessons to thousands of kids in our most deprived areas. Those are not nice-to-haves. Those are things that our community really values. And that feedback, that strong feedback we've gotten from our community, that has shifted the minds of many of the councillors and of His Worship and of the mayor around the table. So I'm hoping that on the day when we finally do settle on the budget, and when we look at that detail of what will be cut and what won't be cut, that will be enough to shift the hearts and minds of others around the table. Before Christmas, there was lots of discussion around what is core to council, and a lot of council laws were saying that it was things like roads and sewage and rubbish. But since the floods and since the feedback we've been getting from our community, many of those councillors have shifted their positions. So I think there is a lot more support now for saving the things that matter to our communities.
Is it slightly short-sighted to say that they're going to cut services like this? Like, once they're cut, is it hard to bring them back at a later date?
Absolutely. And that's the reality. We know that with other cuts that we've had to make in the past, once you cut a service, it's very unlikely that it's going to come back. You know, we are in a fiscally constrained environment now, and it looks like it's going to be that way for at least the next 3 to 5 years while we recover from COVID and recover from the flood and weather events. So things that are lost, any funding and initiatives that are lost, I think it will be very difficult to try and get them back or try to find the funding to get them back. Unless, of course, Aucklanders, you know, are happy for us to put rates up and to increase debt and things like that. And, you know, I don't think that there's a strong appetite to do too much of that as well. You know, we're in a cost of living crisis and we're all mindful that even if we do have to put the rates up or if we do have to borrow, that we still have to be really prudent in how we do that.
You touched briefly on some of the job losses and the ripple effects that can have. There's 200 jobs set to be lost at Auckland Unlimited. And this is the body that brings in events and things like that. And it's vital to the city of Auckland and also does provide a lot of income. People come to Auckland for art exhibitions and, you know, things like Polyfest are part of the fabric of the city. Why are we seeing job losses at places like Auckland Unlimited?
Yeah, there's been a strong push for all of the CCOs and all of the council groups to look at, you know, tightening up, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's and trimming the fat, as Desley Simpson puts it. And so the easiest way to cut millions off your budget is to cut jobs, unfortunately. You know, that's the truth of it. But we don't all, not every councillor around the table supports those cuts. And a lot of us have been arguing that Tataki Auckland Unlimited's job, what they do, and their kaupapa is really important, because if we don't have good events, if we don't have, you know, cultural events and celebrations of who we are, then our city will be a very boring place. And who would want to visit Auckland if that was the case? If we didn't have Polyfest, if we didn't have the Lantern Festival and Diwali, who would want to come to Auckland? What is our difference? What makes us different to every other city around the world? And why would people from other cities, but also from around the world, want to come here and spend their tourist dollars here? So there's been that ongoing argument and tension around the table where some people around the table don't see that and don't understand that that's what Tataki Auckland Unlimited adds to the city in terms of the benefit that they provide. And then there's those of us who do see that. And unfortunately, those of us who do see that are not in the majority. And so, you know, it does sometimes just come down to a decision based on the majority of votes around that table.
That was Manukau City Councillor Lotu Fully.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.